brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop right on. What's
up? Hey, man, what's your name?
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother.
Good morning and happy 4th of July. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Calvin. Did you ever think you'd be here at the studio on the 4th of July?
You know, I didn't plan on it, but we have something special coming up, so.
Well, yeah, man. You know, I just want to say before we get started, you know, kudos to Civic Media and, you know, all of the people who are a part of Civic, that make up Civic Media, that have done yeoman's work over the last day or so, you know, working to bring forth, you know, what you're going to hear in a couple minutes from the President of the United States in an exclusive, where, you know, we at Civic Media had an opportunity to be the first to interview the President of the United States since his debate. And I didn't have any concept of what all of that meant until recently. But I want to, without any further ado, Calvin, we are going to bring you the interview that I had with President Joe Biden on yesterday. President Biden, it is an honor and a privilege to have you appear on the Civic Media Radio Network and especially the Earl Ingram Show. I have a few questions that I'd like to ask you, sir.
Fire away, man.
Can you speak to some accomplishments that we may or may not be familiar with about your record, especially here in Wisconsin?
Well, there's a number of them. For example, back in March, I was in Milwaukee. I announced $36 million for the Sixth Street Project to reconnect communities, helping families and businesses come together. You know, we built highways back in those days, separating communities, breaking up businesses, breaking up economic opportunities, and we're rebuilding them to connect those communities. I'm proud to be running for re-election as a president who's made his promises, and I've kept them. For example, I promised we'd get through this toughest time in history, and because we were left after the pandemic, which my opponent has absolutely screwed up, causing the deaths of over a million people died. And we resulted in sending $1,400 checks to people who were in trouble. We created 15.6 million jobs. Inflation was brought down, it's continuing to come down, and we're going to lower prices for groceries and gasoline and the rest for our average people, and particularly in the black community and minority communities. And I promise we take on big pharma, the pharmaceutical companies are ripping us off and ripping everybody off. And so now, for example, anybody you know who has a diabetes, needs insulin, they only have to pay it only cost $8 for these guys to make it. $35 is the maximum they can charge now. And we set a cap that's on the law now that the cap's at $2,000. All the prescriptions that anyone as a senior would need. And some of these drugs cost, or cancer drugs cost $10,000, $12,000, $14,000. And I want to do that for everybody in America, everybody. Now, that's cap 1.3 million Wisconsin Medicare beneficiaries get that benefit. More black families have health coverage through the ACA, the old Obamacare, than ever before, because so many, as you know, so many black families have pre-existing conditions when they try to go get insurance. If they have a pre-existing condition, they can't get that insurance. This provides that for them. They're able to get insurance. And I just increased that by $800 per person to be able to afford it. And in addition to that, we're building black wealth. The result, black wealth, excessive pandemic is up 60%. There's a hell of a lot more to do, but it's up. Black home ownership is up. You know, you build a home on one side of a superhighway that's in a white community, and build the same home on the other side of the superhighway in a black community. The black community home is all immediately assessed at somewhere between 20-40% less in value than the home in the white community. It's wrong, simply wrong. We're changing that. Black-owned small businesses are starting up faster than any time in decades. There's over 220,000 new black business applications in Wisconsin alone. We're investing hundreds of millions of dollars in small businesses in this state. You're giving people a chance to start a small business. I promised to relieve student debt. The result is $2.3 billion in student loan debt relief for over 60,000 borrowers in Wisconsin, many of them black borrowers. And by the way, HBCUs have, and their students are as bright as students anywhere else, but they don't have the endowments to set up the laboratories for the jobs of the future. So I've been able to provide, and I promised I'd do it, $16 billion just since I've been elected, invested in HBCUs, so they're going to be able to put out the best folks in the world because they have the capacity to do it. There's a lot more, but in addition to that, anyway, I'm probably talking too long, but I come out of the black community in terms of being elected the first time back when I was 29, and the source of my support, and it is, look, anyway.
You've already, President Biden, you've already answered a question too that I wanted to ask you. What's at stake for black voters this election? I think you've done a great job explaining, what's at stake.
There's one other thing. Look, the fact is I promised that when I got elected, I would have an administration that looked like America, I serve as the first black president in American history. I picked a black woman to be my vice president. I've appointed the first black woman to be a Supreme Court justice, who in fact is just as smart as hell, Ketanji Brown and Jackson. And in addition to that, we're more working in a position that we have provided for. I've appointed more black judges, more black women judges than every other president in American history combined, because it's important. Representation is important. They have to have a voice, and that gives them a voice, gives the black community a voice. And there's a lot at stake here. I mean, I got a guy I'm running against who's embracing political violence, pledging to rule as a dictator on day one, attacking the right to vote. He's been attacking the right to vote since a long, long time. And he's going to make the wealthy and large corporations pay their, I'm going to make sure they pay their fair share. He's going to double down on tax breaks for them. And he wants to strengthen, I want to strengthen Medicare and Social Security. He wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. Imagine what that means for the elderly black community. I mean, it just is amazing. And look, he is just, I'm sorry to get so worked up, but he is just, he's done terrible things to the community, and he has about as much interest and concern for black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
So as a person of color, I am excited about you getting worked up. Question three. I got a couple more questions, President Biden.
Sure.
A lot of people have been told or have the mindset that their vote doesn't matter. What can you say to them?
What I can say is the vote of the black community matters intensely, intensely. Look, it make up a significant portion of the American population. Who's going to represent you except folks like me? And we're not going to be able to represent you if you're not showing up, in fact, to vote. It matters. Your voice has to be heard. Lots of close elections the last couple of years, and every vote counts. I understand that for far too long, black community, black Americans often love their country a hell of a lot more than their countries love them, and having loved them back in equal measure. Because folks like you turn out to vote in 2020, we have made remarkable progress. The president is the most powerful office in the world, but we need someone with wisdom and character. We need someone who is going to make sure that the Supreme Court just issued a decision, by the way, that threatens American principle that we have no kings in America. There's no one above the law. That's what we gave Donald Trump the power to use a system that is just never contemplated by our founders because of the people he appointed to the court. It's just presidential immunity. He can say that I did this in my capacity as an executive. It may have been wrong, but I did it. But that's going to hold because and this is the same guy who says that he wants to enact revenge. He wants to organize a coup. He said, I want to rule as a dictator. The stakes are really high. I know you know this. For democracy, for freedom, or economics, our economy are all on the line. And the other side is working overtime to chip away at your right to vote to begin with. And we're working harder and harder to protect that right to vote. There's so much at stake here. And nothing more, no more at stake than to the working class women and men of America, and particularly minorities, Hispanics, Asian Americans, African Americans. It really matters. That's what makes us who we are. We're a great country because we give everybody a shot. And he doesn't want to give anybody but his, like he said down in Mar-a-Lago, he said, you know, I know you're all rich as hell, and I'm going to make you richer. And they all thought that, and that's funny. At the same time, as I said, he wants a 10% tariff on everything imported in the United States, which experts point out is going to raise the taxes on average Americans $2,500, raise their taxes. Well, it gives a $5 trillion tax cut next time out for everybody making. Anyway, I don't want to get too wrapped up, but it really, I have nothing but an incredible disregard for everything he stands for with regard to the community.
And the last question, President Biden, let's talk about the debate. Can you address some of the concerns about your performance and Trump's ridiculous remark about black jobs?
Well, look, two things. One, I had a bad night. And the fact of the matter is that, I screwed up. I made a mistake. And but I learned from my father, when you get knocked down, just get back up. And, we're going to win this election. We're going to just beat Donald Trump like we did in 2020. We're going to beat him again. But we need all of you to get this done, all of you. Look, I came back I was in a situation where I was wired. I didn't have a good debate. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years. I've led the economy back from the brink of collapse. It's still improving. We got more to do. I lowered prescription drug prices. I've worked with Republicans to expand veterans' health care. This is the same guy, by the way, Joe. He lived just about a quarter mile from what they call a burn pit. These are the size of football fields, 10 feet deep, to dump everything from human waste to pollution in there, and they burn it. And all those fumes, the reason why he came back, went from a very healthy man, came back with stage 4 glioblastoma, more brain injuries in that war than any other war, and he died. I'll be damned if I let this president talk about veterans the way he talked. Now we have all those folks who are around those burn pits and all those folks in Agent Orange. They now, over a million of them, now are getting the benefits that their families deserve. We only have one sacred obligation. That's to prepare those we send into harm's way and care for them and their families when they come home. And now we're finally beginning to do that. But look, here's the deal. You know, 90 minutes on stage, as I said, I've done this, what I've done in the last 3.5 years is, by the way, it's not quite, well, by the way, you asked me about black jobs. You know what he's doing. It's shameful. He's talking about black jobs, meaning all the things that blacks can do are manual labor, menial labor. That's what he's doing. That's how he looks at it. Name me something he's done to help the black community, give people a shot like I've done in college and education and home buying and a whole range of things. This is the guy who questioned George Floyd's humanity, led to the birther movement against Barack Obama. You know, this is the guy who said Barack Obama, that black guy, he wasn't born in America, and he kept it going, lying like hell. Just like he lied like hell about what's going on anyway. But look, he's falsely accused of Central Park Five. Those guys who were arrested, he said they should all be convicted and they're innocent. He won't even acknowledge that. And by the way, I'm proud that I've had the first black vice president in American history. And I'm proud to have appointed, I said, more black women in the Supreme Court, more black women in the federal courts and circuit courts than any other president, all presidents combined. Look, we can't waste talent in America. There's so much talent in the black community. All people, my dad used to say, everybody just deserves a shot. It's an even shot. That's all it is, just an even shot. And we have to invest more in education. I plan like hell to make sure, look, there's a lot of folks coming from broken homes in the black and white communities. But we learned a lot of through significant studies in my administration that if you have preschool at age 3 and 4 and 5, no matter what the background is, you have a 56% better chance of going through 12 years of school and doing it well. And I think community college should be free. It would save America money. It would increase productivity in America. Just give people a chance, a chance. And I tell you what, the idea that you guys are reporting this on the 4th of July, just a little bit, I'm so short of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, is really important. We cannot let this guy win. It'd just be a disaster for America. And by the way, it's not just me. I'll end with that. There are 15 Nobel laureates, 14, I think, 14 or 15 Nobel laureates in the economy. They said if he's reelected, he's going to cause a recession. And he's let out what he wants to do the second term. He said he's going to cause a recession, and we're going to have a significant rise in interest rates. They looked at mine and they said, what Biden's going to do if he's reelected, he's going to make sure interest rates come down. There's going to be a soft landing. We're going to be able to continue to grow the economy. The economy has never grown faster than under me. We're going to make sure it does, but it includes everybody. We're unique in all the world. All the world. We're the only nation that's organized based on an idea, not ethnicity, not race, not religion, on an idea. And that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women are created equal, endowed by their creator. We've never fully lived up to it, but we've never, ever, ever, ever walked away from it. We got to get closer and closer to it. He wants to walk away from it completely. And I'm sorry, I feel so strongly about this, that particularly as it affects hardworking people in minority communities.
President Biden, it is and has been an honor and a privilege to have had this opportunity. I want to say to you that you're talking to a man who's followed you for 45 years, watched your career, and predicted that President Obama was going to make you his vice president. So I'm speaking for all of civic media.
You did do that.
Yes, sir. I'm speaking for all of civic media across the network, across this entire state, that we support you, we love you, and keep up the good work.
Well, by the way, as my mother would say, you're doing God's work, kid. This is really important for so many, many people. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you very much. That is President Joe Biden on Civic Media. All right, Calvin. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, one of the reasons that Calvin and I are here is because the president requested that we do this on the 4th of July. Regardless of how one feels about the president of the United States, it's safe to say that I don't think anybody can argue whether or not he's sincere. I don't think that's the issue. Whether or not President Biden is sincere. And I will say to you again that, I've had a lot of conversations with people on a national level over the last couple days. And this is a huge, huge debate that is being had. And I'm not going to shy away from the debate, because for people who think that, we shouldn't be having it there, I don't know, maybe they're not tied into the universe. because this is a major discussion. You know, I'm going to be, you know, talking with NPR this afternoon. You know, I've had conversations with some connections in Washington and New York and everywhere else. And so for people to say that we should dummy up and not have the conversation, you'll get your opportunity to explain why you think that makes sense on the Earl Ingram Show. Again, 844-967-2789 is the number. Happy 4th of July, you all.
Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh.
Right on. Right on.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You're tuned to 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, the Shaw, on the Civic Media Networks. You know, President Biden spoke. We were initially scheduled to have a, you know, conversation for 6 to 8 minutes. It wound up being almost 25 to 30 minutes. And clearly he had something that he wanted to say. You know, before we go to the phone lines, I just want to, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, the time. And where we are, the president and the White House clearly know that they are under tremendous pressure, as there was a press conference yesterday, held at the White House. And after that press conference, President Biden was joined by governors from across the nation to find out their thoughts, you know, about him and what happened during the debate. You know, I know yesterday in many of the phone calls that I got, there were people who told me that I shouldn't be talking about it, that this is the wrong thing to do. And, you know, I'm not an ostrich, and I'm not going to stick my head in the sand, because there are people who don't want to face the realities of why the discussion is being had. It's not something that I've created. It is something that, you know, clearly was created because of that debate. And it didn't go away. And the naysayers have only intensified. It is one of the reasons why the president and the White House decided to have him, you know, make the statements that he did on yesterday. 844-967-2789 is the number. Tom, you're up.
Good morning, Earl. First off, congratulations on your interview. And second, happy 4th of July to you. Honestly, I don't think Joe Biden's age is the issue. I think the issue is that he needs to just slow down. It's almost like it's the speech impediment, maybe because of his age, but it's like listening to somebody that's ADHD. They have all of this stuff in their mind. They have all of this stuff in their head, and they're just spitting it out everywhere. Rather than segmenting the different things into categories of what it is that they've done. They have done so much stuff, Biden, Harris, and the Congress, honestly, mostly Biden, though through executive order, has done so much that he can't even get it all spit out of his head. I mean, it would have been nicer, of course, if he would just have more of a dialogue with you, because when he talked about, like, his dad, and he talked about that kind of stuff, he slowed down rather than just spitting out all of the different facts. So I really recommend that somebody on the Biden-Harris administration team gets a hold of him and tells him, slow down, listen to the question, answer the question. And I don't know if Joe Biden's really ever done that. To tell you the truth, he's always been a gaffer. He's always had that issue. But the thing is, I think that with his speech impediment, and I think because there's so much stuff in his brain, and that he's just discombobulating everything. The bottom line is people have to look at policies on both sides and stop Donald Trump from saying that he's the one that actually put up policies that Joe Biden and Barack Obama actually accomplished. 30 lies in a debate. I mean, it's like Joe Biden's just trying to spit out everything. And I just find that really something that is on the campaign. Now, as far as him being our nominee, because that's what we talked about yesterday, and I don't have a problem having the conversation. My thing is that he won the primaries. My thing is he is our nominee. And to change that right now, as an example, the Republicans, first off, would come after us and say, you know, they'd have us in court right away because of the fact that in some states you can't even be on the ballot if you're changing a nominee. Different things like that. But I have no problem having the conversation.
Hey Tom, again, do you understand why this discussion is being had? Do you understand why? I don't think it's being had because he's not explaining policies. Because on yesterday, he sat with all these governors because they were seeking reassurance. And so I think that, you know, when you say it's about him slowing down, I think there are people who are looking at things through a different prism. And again, with all the conversations I've had, this is something bigger than that, Tom. And so, you know, where it's going to all end up, you know, I don't know. But, you know, it's not going to go away. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Manny Perez. Hey, Manny, how you doing? It's good to hear from you, my friend.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about who Manny is and, you know, and what you've done.
I was the former Secretary of Workforce Development under Governor Walker. And as of a while ago, I changed my political affiliation from Republican to independent, simply because the Republican Party is not longer Lincoln Party. It's something else, like a religious cult or something like that.
Yes, sir. So your thoughts?
I do not believe that President Biden should step aside. Here's the reason. Democrats, independents, former Republicans, moderates need to understand that this election is about preventing Donald Trump from gaining power. That's the single most important objective of this election. Donald Trump has already gained immunity. So you can only imagine what he is going to do if he gets elected. In other words, he's going to do whatever he wants, and he's going to name it official act. As a result, I really encourage all moderates, independents, former Republicans, and Democrats to unite. If later President Biden is not able to dispense the duties of the office, that's why the Constitution has the figure, the legal figure of a vice president. But the most important thing is to prevent Donald Trump from getting office. President Biden has done a great job for Black Americans. The employment record of African Americans has surpassed that of Donald Trump under President Biden. He has worked tirelessly to help to lower prescription drugs. He has brought back jobs. He actually managed the economy in such a manner so as to get out of the COVID panic. And let me ask you, everybody, the question. If Donald Trump was such a good friend of Putin, and he was talking to Putin all the time, why didn't he set up an agreement with Putin that would have prevented the war? Because don't think that the whole thing with Ukraine and Russia, occurred from one day to another. He was very well aware, Donald Trump was very well aware, during the time that he was in office, that there was an issue, and he did not take action to prevent it, which was his duty to do. So my opinion, as a former Republican, as an independent, and as a former secretary, is that President Biden needs to continue, get elected, name the best, a team of secretaries of the very best and brightest of all avenues, and then if he cannot dispense the duties of the office later, that's why there is a vice president. Thank you.
So Manny, before you run, let me, because when we go back to policies, and I don't think there's anybody who would disagree or dispute any of the policies that President Biden has orchestrated. So that's not it. And what people are focusing on. And the other side of it is, any person or human being that has listened to Donald Trump or has seen Donald Trump knows the inherent danger of, because he was once in the White House. So we have a barometer, a measuring stick, to know exactly who he is and what he is and what he's going to do if he, gets back there. But I don't think that that's what people are talking about. And Manny, I do understand the inherent dangers of having a man like Donald Trump get back in office. The question that people are asking is, are people sure that Joe Biden today can defeat Donald Trump? That's the question. Joe Biden of today, can he defeat Donald Trump again based on where he is right now?
In my opinion, yes, because 70% of the American population has already decided who they are going to vote for. The only thing that remains is who the remaining 30% are going to vote. And the 30% is composed by independents, moderates, former Republicans, center-right individuals. That's the vote. Everybody else, the bases, they have already decided who they are going to vote for. And so that's that. The fight is for the independents. Okay?
Hey, Manny.
So I...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Go ahead quickly.
So as a result, I really don't believe that, you know, can Biden beat Donald Trump? It's right now, it's political machinery. What people, what aligning themselves along ideological lines and convincing the independents and moderates to vote against Trump, even if they may not like Biden too much. But this is about voting against Trump and preventing Trump from gaining office.
Hey, Manny, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, 844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines if you'd like to get in. Again, it is a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show, a 4th of July holiday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. And, you know, President Joe Biden and his thoughts, we played out earlier. We're going to play them back. If you're just joining us, you're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK. I want revenge, my patience bend. On revenge, my patience bend. On revenge, I want revenge. I want revenge. Can I get some hits? I need those hits. I need those hits. Back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show at 540 AM WAUK. You know, I would say this. Joe Biden is a man who certainly has done some, dedicated his entire adult life to service and done some really great things. Well, let me withhold that thought and go back to those of you who have been waiting diligently on the phone lines. Let's go to Mike from Madison. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Ah, tell me something good.
All right.
Yeah. Look, I don't want, this has got to be for me to try and communicate without offending rational thinking people. Because everything that everybody's saying about why Joe Biden should stay in the race is actually every reason why he should get out of the race. We've been told that the democracy will be gone if Trump wins. And unfortunately, last Thursday, after 3 minutes, I had to get up and walk out of the theater, not because I was afraid Joe Biden was going to lose, but because I saw what condition he's in. My brother died of Alzheimer's a year and a half ago. My best friend struggles with schizophrenia and dementia. These are things that everyone should notice because we've all had loved ones go through this. Joe Biden's done, surpassed what I thought he would do as a president. He's done a great job. It was his time, even though I didn't think it was his time to be president. He held us steady, right?
Yes, sir.
He brought us back from the brink. The numbers don't add up with what the people are saying that want him to stay in the race. 79% of independents do not believe he has the mental health to stay in. People are already saying, well, if he doesn't do the 4 years, he's not going to do 4 years, people. We'll be lucky if this decline isn't so fast that it's 4 months for him. This is the time we should soften his world and give him all the love and support and recognition for the job that he did, and make him understand that by passing the baton, we've got a chance to win. Right now, the Republicans are suing to keep Biden on the ballot in all the battleground states. That's how sure they are of this. If we do this, people, they're running ads right now showing, and they're brutal and cruel and insensitive and unfortunately very effective, where they show Biden's meltdown, and then they're, you know, flitting the screen with the congressman that's running, who's claiming that Joe Biden is ready to go for another 4 years. These ads are effective because so many people in this country are struggling to keep their homes and take care of their children. They don't have the depth, wisdom, and knowledge when it comes to all of the issues. However, when I'm out there talking to people and I'm letting them know, and so many of them, they don't want to even vote, and I'm telling them, we still have to vote to protect our futures and explain to them what is really going on here, okay? Because there is a lane in the Democratic Party that loves to blame people who don't think like them. And yes, I'm guilty of doing that myself, but I'm always right. Right, Earl? This is so obvious, setting up for a landslide for the Republicans, and it's something that we'll never, ever be able to recover.
Hey, Mike, man, very thoughtful and thought-provoking words from you. And, man, you know, God bless you and your family and all those things, but really appreciate those words. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Hey, good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Well, I guess to kind of repeat what I said before, the thing that we are fighting against is not Trump. Trump is just the front man for Project 2025. And if anybody takes the time to read the 920 pages of Project 2025, they will realize that we are pointed in the direction of a dictatorship. We are going to eventually lose all our rights. And little by little, the Supreme Court is turning them away. We have the Chevron deal. We have Roe versus Wade. We have the immunity now. Just think about it, people. The United States that you love and enjoy will vanish when the Republicans take power. Now, as far as Biden is concerned, yeah, I really didn't think that he was even equipped for the 4 years that he did. But we need to embrace him, we need to support him, and we need to support the Democratic Party. And yes, this is going to be up to the independents, because we as Democrats, and actually, for many years, I wasn't a Democrat. I was a Republican. But for me, the Constitution, the rule of law, democracy, and freedom are the utmost important in this country. And that's what we have to keep our eye on. So I suggest listeners read 2025, Project 2025.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mary from Tulsa. Hey, good morning to you, Mary. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Calvin. I just want to say congratulations, Earl, on the recognition you've received from the White House and the NPR. It's very well deserved. My strong feeling today is that, you know, if people can see beyond the cookouts and the fireworks of today and really think about what Independence Day means, and then also think hard if our independence as a country ends under Trump's reign, I hope that President Biden really digs in his heels and keeps on with the campaign. Thanks for your work, Earl.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much. Very well said. Guys, hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789 is the number. You know, very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. On the 4th of July, Civic Media, 540 AM WAUKNU.
Tell me that you like it.